Born to broadcast, television news anchor, radio news anchor. This lady knows Lansing and is about to let you in on the latest. 1320 WILS presents Cheryl Fritz, your host for Fritz and Friends.
And welcome to Fritz and Friends. Glad to have you join me this Wednesday evening. I'm Cheryl Fritz along with Scott Eckersley, coming to you on 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Joining me now on the phone is Senator Gretchen Whitmer, who is also Senate Democratic leader. Good evening. How are you?
I'm great, Cheryl. How are you?
Good. You're heading off shortly to a town hall, second one this week, at Donley School in East Lansing.
That's right. That's the elementary school my daughters attend, and I was asked to come and present, you know, the facts in terms of what the budget is going to mean for our schools and for our community. And so I've got a fiscal analyst who's going over with me to present the facts, and I'm going to field questions because I think it's really important that people understand what Governor Snyder's proposed budget means to our community, and that they get engaged in the debate on how we go about moving Michigan forward.
Now, you did a similar town hall in Grand Rapids at Burton Elementary yesterday. How was the turnout, and what were the concerns that you were hearing?
Well, I did that, and it was well attended, and, you know, the concerns are that we had a number of retirees who were there who were curious about the pension tax and what it really meant for them. And it was very interesting because a couple people stood up and said, you know, I'm a Republican. I voted for Rick Snyder, and, you know, but I don't like the fact that he's willing to raise our pension taxes to pay for a business tax cut. And I think that the vast majority of people in the state understand that we're in tough times and that we should all pitch in. But I think it really offends people's sense of justice when they are asked to chip in, individuals, in terms of their taxes, whether it's pension taxes or income taxes, to pay for a $2 billion tax break for business. It's one thing to say, chip in and we'll put the money toward our schools. It's another thing to say, chip in so we can give this away to business as a tax break.
As you have mentioned before, you're talking about where's the shared sacrifice.
That's right. I mean, in Governor Snyder's budget, we know we have a $1.5 billion budget deficit to start with. He makes it over $3 billion by proposing this $1.8 billion tax break for business. And the way he goes about paying for it is taxing pensions and slashing our schools. You know, our school aid fund is flush. If we funded our schools out of it, which is what it was intended for, we could afford a $260 increase per pupil. But the governor wants to take $900 million out of it, and that's what's forcing these massive cuts to our schools that are just really going to have a devastating impact on our kids.
And you are not in favor of raiding that school fund at all.
I'm not. In fact, I've introduced a constitutional amendment that says the school aid fund money needs to go for K-12. When we went to the voters on Proposal A, that was the promise. If you change the way that we tax our property, we'll ensure that the dollars go into the school aid fund. It's restricted and it's dedicated, so politicians can't get their grubby hands on it. And sure enough, that's what they're trying to do, and it's just wrong.
And I think it's important that you mentioned earlier, just because these meetings are being held at elementary schools, these two, it's not just about school funding in the budget. This is about all of the budget issues you want to let people address with you.
That's right. We're going to have someone from the offices to the services on aging. We're going to have someone there to talk about what it means for public safety with the revenue sharing cuts. And so we'll have a lot of different perspectives so that people can really get the facts. You know, people are genuinely surprised when they see, okay, you know, we're used to our schools getting cut every year. But when you say, listen, no, the money's there. He's just proposing this to fund a tax break for business, that's when people really stand up and take notice. And I think it's important that they have the facts.
And you, in an effort for bipartisan discussion this evening, you extended an invitation to the governor.
I did. I've invited the governor to all of our town halls. They haven't even responded, much less attended. But we're going to continue, and we're going to take testimony from each of these meetings and present it to the governor, you know, because I think, you know, you can't make decisions without hearing what people have to say, or you shouldn't anyway, and we're going to make sure that people's voices are heard. I've also invited the Speaker of the House, and they declined as well.
Well, the invitations are out there. We're repeating them again now.
Okay. Well, if nothing more, you know, everyone is encouraged to come, ask questions, and to get involved, because your voice does matter in this process, and it needs to be heard.
Are you encouraged at all by the Senate Republicans on Tuesday saying that or proposing that the cuts to education wouldn't be as deep as they once were?
You know, I am. I'm encouraged to see that there's some independent thought there and that perhaps they are listening to their schools. But $130 off of a $715 cut is amputation versus death. And I think everyone prefers amputation over death, but it's still not going to be good enough to ensure that our schools are able to educate our kids in manageably sized classrooms with all of the offerings in terms of transportation and sports that they currently have, and that's got to be a priority.
And another thing you and I have discussed in the past is the earned income tax credit. There was some compromise on that today as well. I guess the same question, is that encouraging at all to you?
It's encouraging that there's movement, but the compromise is all on one side of the aisle, and they compromised from $358 million in the earned income tax credit to $25 million. So that's in my estimation, not a great compromise. It keeps it alive, but on life support. And I think a lot of families who are on the bubble, the working poor in our state, are going to really struggle because of it.
Well, I guess I'm thinking in parts too, Senator, that as you said, it keeps it alive, and perhaps further discussion and further input could move it even further.
It's true. Nothing is done, and this is a process they're hoping to wrap up by the end of next month. So time is of the essence if people want their voices to be heard and they want to have an impact on what's been proposed and what is being talked about in Lansing. It's not over, and the fact that there are differing points of view on one side of the aisle, I guess, gives me hope.
Okay. The last 2 days, there was a seminar held in Lansing for emergency financial manager training, attended by not just those who are wanting to be trained to be an EFM, but also folks from different municipalities for an educational standpoint. Your thoughts on the EFM and specifically what's happened in Benton Harbor this last week?
Well, the emergency financial management legislation sailed through the legislature without a whole lot of opportunity for debate. I think that it's unfortunate that we've changed these rules, and now the governor's budget, it threatens to plunge, if it's enacted the way he's proposed, it will plunge 150 school districts into financial crisis, and they will have to make use of this new emergency financial manager. This is someone who is an appointee of the state treasurer and has enormous amount of authority to go into these local communities and undo policies, undo contracts, and make all sorts of decisions that are going to impact people in the community, and they're not elected, they're not responsible to the public, they're just responsible to whomever appointed them from the government. So I think that there are some real issues with that, and I think as we see this play out, that communities will see how, this is a new system, and it's all new rules and situations where the stakes are very high and very decisions are critical. And I'm holding my breath and hoping that some of these communities are going to survive.
Repeating again tonight, you will be at Donnelly School?
Yes, Donnelly Elementary in East Lansing. It is on the corner of Hagedorn and Lake Lansing at 7 o'clock tonight, and everyone's welcome.
Very good. As you said, these are important times, and a lot of decisions need to be made, so the more input from the public you have to take back to the Capitol, the better. I appreciate your time this evening.
Thank you, Cheryl.
Thank you. Senator Gretchen Whitmer, who is also the Senate Democratic leader, will be back with more Fritz and Friends on 1320 WILS after this.